Yeah, Jesus, you're the only worthy one. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Thank you, Father. Thank you that even as we worship you, you tend to us. It's like we want to sing songs and we want to worship you and adore you, and still, even in that, you want to love and you want to heal and you want to restore and you want to do a work in our lives. And so I do pray this morning that the back of that thing would be broken. For some where there is fear of the future and anxiety and concern and worry, I pray that this morning, God, would you break the back of that thing supernaturally. We want to be a people of faith that trust God for the impossible. Father, we want to position ourselves to hear from you. Would you come and speak this morning? Would you come and speak clearly? We want to submit ourselves. We want to put ourselves under what you have to say, that what you have to say overrides what I feel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You can grab your seats. Just the one announcement, the one reminder this morning, that if you want to give financially in terms of your tithes and offerings, there is the electronic banking details. And then if you did bring cash today, there is boxes, but they're going to be at the back for after the service. If you did bring cash and you want to give, I do get in trouble because I forget to do that often. And people are like, I brought cash. There is baskets at the back on your way out that you can deposit. There are no announcements this morning other than Mom and Dad, could you... Every time my dad preaches in this congregation, I'm never here. It's kind of like Clark Kent and Superman. They're never in the same room at the same time. Dad, Mom, I want to introduce you properly as my parents. This is my mom and dad. Rough and tough and from the Bluff, originally. No, but really, every time you get to see them, you get introduced as Roland and Patty, who lead all these congregations, and they oversee a bunch of stuff, and they travel, and they minister everywhere. But for me, this is just mom and dad. I'm really excited for them to minister this morning. My mom and dad do. They oversee a whole bunch of one of the hubs of Josh Jane congregations, and they're on Andrew's team. So this morning, I want you to receive them. I really do feel like the word that my dad is carrying is really prime for the season that we find ourselves in as a congregation. So open your hearts. These are not strangers coming in from the outside. These are elders in the house, in Josh Jane, and they're here to build into us. Okay, so we want to receive it like that this morning. It's not like some guest preacher. Just wait there, Trish. You're beautiful. Your role is nice to look at. He can minister. You're nice to look at. No, I'm joking. Okay, awesome.
Just during the worship, Sam came up and brought that word. I'm quite an emotional guy on preach, but I'll get over it quickly. I'd hate to drag you guys down to where I'm taking you. But anyway, Sam brought the word about the God of peace. And that word says the God of peace will put a guard over your mind and over your heart. And I've always found that it's the men that need the guard over their mind and the ladies that need the guard over their heart because of the type of people that we are. And that picture of a guard is a Roman centurion standing at the door of your mind and your heart to protect you from anything that would come against you. And I was given a scripture when I was really sick a long time ago now. But I said, Lord, I need to be healed. I can't stay like this. I can't continue to function like this. Actually, I don't want to. If I wasn't a Christian, I might take the easy route. But because I serve you and I have a family to look after, there's no ways that I'd ever take the short route. But the word and that then came was in Philippians 1 and verse 29. And it says, you've been granted the privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ. You know what? I didn't need that word at that time. I didn't count it a privilege. But yeah, this morning we've been doing a bit of a series in our church, not through the Bible, but different topics. And the main topic has been, what kind of church is Jesus building? What is he building? And we obviously dealt with the first one about a prevailing, the gates of hell will not prevail. But then the next one that I spoke on was Jesus is building a holy church. Jesus is building a holy church. And one of the songs this morning had, whenever I see that word holy, yes, Lord, that's what you're saying to me. And but it is quite a, it's quite a scary word. And I'm trusting that when you leave here today, that you actually leave here in fear of the holiness of God. I trust you leave here with a heart that says, Lord, I want to serve you. You are a holy God. You are set apart, and you've set me apart to serve you. And so I actually asked Declan to sit in the front row because he encourages me so much. Ephesians 5 and verse 27 is the first scripture. So that he, the title, Jesus is building a holy church, and why? Ephesians 5 and verse 27, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or blemish or such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Guys, Jesus is building a church, and it's a holy church. If you want to be part of this church that he's building, you need to live in a place of holiness. And I'm not trying to put some legalistic thing on you today. Jesus is building a holy church. And we have our part to play. We often think, oh, God, holy, yes, holy. In Revelation 19 and verses 7 to 8, it says, let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. Jesus is washing us and cleaning us, but we have a part of this job to play as well. We have prepared ourselves, for she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the white, the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. God's holy people. We're living in an information age. Do you agree? We're living in an information age, and we are, instead of being transformed, we're being conformed. Transforms from the inside, where you change and you change those around you. Conformed is when you squeezed into a little box and you have to conform to the peer pressure and what everyone does around you. So we are being conformed instead of transformed. We squeezed into a mold. And especially for the younger people, and there are a lot of you here, don't allow yourself to be conformed. You be transformed. And as you are transformed, you will transform those around you. We need to be those people. And so what does a holy church look like? 1 Peter 1:14, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires. There we go. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Guys, be holy is to do something. It's a verb. Be holy. You can't just sit there and hope that it's going to happen. No, you need to be holy. There need to be spiritual disciplines in your life that help you to live in this place of holiness. You don't just happen along there by chance. It takes work. And that sounds terrible, but it does. It's a discipline. There were times in my life when I didn't want to pray and I didn't want to read the Bible. And it got so bad, I didn't even want to listen to worship music. Now, that's bad because I love listening to worship music. My wife will tell you, when we drive in the car, I put the music so loud that we save petrol. It's like, boom, 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 as we come down the road. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Do you think God will give you something to do that you can't do? No, that's not the God we serve. I like your shirt, eh? Got good taste. I saw you when you were standing at the front chair, and I said to Paige, check it out, he's got the same shirts as me. I'm going to keep my jacket on. If we are disobedient, we find ourselves conforming to these evil desires. That's when you conform. When these evil things come upon you, when you look at stuff you shouldn't look at. They gave stats yesterday at a training time that I was at. It's horrific. I can't even remember them. I just know that they were big. And there's all sorts of evil desires. I said to my granddaughter, the oldest one, because the others are still growing, I told her, your dad said, you have to be 33 before you get married. I'm raising the bar to 34. Guys, one of the things we have to do is to train our children. If you don't train them, who's going to? Don't rely on the children's worker 1 hour a week to train your children. Don't. It's your responsibility. They just there to help you once a week. And it's not much time. So if we conform to evil desires and we worship the God of our imagination, not the God of the Bible, the God that we think he is, we bring him down to our level. Think about that. Oh, yes, I think God is like this. Let me tell you, go to the Word and make sure that it's right. 1 Philippians 29, for me, in a place of sickness, I have granted you the privilege of suffering for Jesus. That's not what the word you want to hear. Later on, he then gave me a scripture out of, I think it was Isaiah 39, where he says, speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, I will extend your life by 15 years. Hezekiah, sorry. Just checking. Otherwise, it's the God of my imagination. And we will never know God because we commit adultery by actually worshiping other idols. Anything that comes between you and God is an idol. Today, if you're sitting here and you got this girlfriend that you if you're a guy, you really just love this girl. One day you're going to marry her and you can't think of anything else but, wow, today I'm going to see my girlfriend. Guys, do not put anyone or anything between you and God. Do not do it. Preached on the scripture recently in Acts 13 and verse 22, it says, God removed Saul. God removed him. You go back and read back in the Old Testament, it says, God killed Saul. Okay, I believe he opened the door and the devil went in. But you know what? Only what God allows to happen can happen. I believe that. I believe that there are things that happen in our life because we open the door in our life. God displays, and you know what? We always think that God's most defining characteristic is love. Don't you think? Oh, God is love. God is love. Let me tell you something. God displays holiness as the central and defining essence of his character. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross for you and I. Because holiness, God demanded that our sin be paid for. And the only thing that could pay for it was Jesus, his son, dying on the cross for you and I. So he counts holiness very high on his priority list. The word tells us we become what we worship. We become what we worship. 2 Kings 17 and verse 15, it says, they rejected his decrees and the covenants he had made with their ancestors and the statutes he had warned them to keep. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. Guys, we don't want to worship the wrong thing. We don't want to become worthless. We want to be the apple of God's eye, which he says in Acts 13:22. After he kills Saul, he speaks about the fact. He says, God testified to the fact that David would do anything that he asked him to do. Anything. If God said to you today, sell your house. Who owns houses here? I'm not going to send you anywhere, just who owns a house. Those are the guys that don't want to hear this. You own a house. God says to you, I want you to go. And you know what? It's easier to say, yes, I'll go. Let me see you go. That's what I want to say. I own a house. I want to go. I want to go closer to my grandchildren. But anyway. You know what the problem with holiness is? It's not the problem with holiness. It's how we see holiness.
The water.
The bucket with holes in it. We tend to make holiness a set of rules and regulations. You can do this. You can't do that. And this morning, I don't want you to leave here with, I have to now go and do this, and I have to now go and do this. No, I want you to leave here with, God is a holy God. And I want to be set apart to serve Him with everything that I have inside of me. Not you have to do this, you have to do that, because that's legalistic. And that's Pharisaical. And there's no joy, there's no laugh, and no one wants to be around you. When you walk into a room and people start ducking in every direction like a cockroach, you know, when you put the lights on, they're like, all over there. We don't have that at home. If we had that, Patsy would leave the house, I promise you. You know, there's no joy here. There's no laugh here. And that doesn't mean, that means that there's no holiness. Because holiness is worked out in a community as well. Isaiah 6 and verse 1, I'm sure you've all read this scripture at some time. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That's Adonai. The word Adonai, it means the Lord's position, not His name. I saw the ultimate sovereign monarch, great and good. And then it carries on, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Folks, that only happens twice in the Bible, where something is repeated three times. Because in the Hebrew language, the more you repeated something, the more important it was. So most things got a two, holy, holy. But let me tell you, this was holy, holy, holy. Only two times. The other time is in Revelation. And we see there, that means the Lord that we pray to. Yahweh, transcendent, majestic, otherness, holiness, high and above. And you know what's so cool? It says He's seated on a throne. He's not seated on a plastic chair or a like a lazy boy. He's seated on a throne, man. When you see Him, is He on a throne or is He on a plastic chair? How do you see Him? We've got to begin to see Him in the right way. You see, the problem is we've embraced the comfort of God's nearness at the expense of His transcendence. We're so like, oh, Daddy, it's so nice and fuzzy, but we've forgotten about this is God. He's at the beginning of time. He's at the end of time. He knows everything that's going to happen in between. He's going to make everything that happen in between. And we're thinking, oh, such a nice God. He is a transcendent God. And there, when Isaiah looks up, remember, he's a prophet. He looks up, he sees the king seated on a throne. His train fills the temple. In those days, your train was a sign of your authority and your power. And it says that God's train filled the temple, all authority. But, prophet, the church that Jesus is building is a revelational church, not an informational church. We don't leave you with a whole lot of information. We need to leave you with a revelation of Jesus is seated on the throne. Not head knowledge. You can ask some people, where's the scripture? And they'll just give it to you like that. Boom. Like Grant, he can do that. Grant's been around a while. He's learned a few scriptures. But you know what? God doesn't... That isn't necessarily the thing that He wants. He wants you to have a grasp of Scripture. What does my word say from the beginning to the end? Just have an understanding of what I do. And then when the time comes, I believe that the word says the Holy Spirit will actually remind you. Revelation, not information. Our view of God has been diminished. We've made him into a God that we want and not the God that he is. But we need to be a holy church. Guys, I trust that you're sitting there and you're thinking, hey, this is something I haven't heard for a while. I'm sure you've heard of it before, but that the fear of God, I'm trusting the fear of God is grabbing you right where you are. The fear of God, because the fear of God, one of the holes in the bucket was sin. The fear of God stops you from going into sin. The love of God draws you near and close to him. But I'm trusting this morning, if you have a hole in your bucket and it's fear and you're not afraid, God's going to come this morning and touch you and say, I am a holy God. I want you with a bucket with no holes in it. I want you to draw that water. I want you to drink of my spirit. I want to touch you. I want to change you. When you walk out of here, I want to walk out of here with my head held high and I want to be able to say, I serve a holy God. In Isaiah verse 5, it says, or I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. How can I speak for God when I've got unclean lips? Isaiah needed to have his lips bribed before he could go and talk. And you know what? I'm not 100% sure about this, but I enjoy David Pawson material. And he says that his lips were actually burnt with a coal. So he walked around for the rest of his days disfigured, but serving a holy God, speaking with clean lips. We can't look at others and put something on them. John 21 and verse 21, it says, when Peter saw him, talking about John. Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. In holiness, guys, we don't compare ourselves to one another. I don't look at you and say, I'm more holy than you. I've done more things right. When we want to look at holiness, we look at God. We compare ourselves to God, every one of us. When people start to speak to you about other people, you say, have you compared yourself to God lately? When I said that in our congregation, it made an impact because there are people that want to talk from time to time. I said, you know what? Don't worry about the other person. You worry about yourself. You worry about yourself. You see yourself against God and his holiness. God is more concerned about our hearts than our outward credentials. That he actually doesn't care what school you went to, believe it or not, that if you spent your children to the most expensive school. I definitely didn't do that. Dan went up to standard 8 and then he didn't feel like schooling anymore. Then he went back and he did 9 and 10 in 1 year and got incredible results. That's my boy. Yeah, doesn't matter what we earn or how much we volunteer. We got guys in our congregation that earn, they tithe tens of thousands. But you know what? God doesn't worry about that. Jesus taught his disciples to purify their hearts of selfish and evil thoughts. Mark 7 and verse 20, it says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. What comes out of you defiles you, not what goes in. And we have this on a regular basis. Because I grew up where alcohol was abused. And so I went to the other extreme where non-use. When I planted a church in Nelspruit with my family, when I went to the spur or whatever, I wanted grape tizer, I would not use a wine glass in case people thought that I was drinking wine. I went right on the other side. Then Gauteng, I more or less carried it like that. And then I came down to Cape Town, the wine capital of the world, I think. And I've had to let God deal with my heart, not other people's hearts. Deal with my heart. I still don't drink alcohol, but it doesn't mean that others can't drink a glass of wine. It doesn't. If you are religious and you say, oh, you can't drink, no, show me that in the Bible. Anything you want to say, back it up with the word of God, not your own words, because then it's the God of your imagination. We need to be examining our hearts on a regular basis in the light of God's holiness and righteousness. And this morning, I don't know, does Tony come up and play, or Joe, or what do you do here? There we go. Hey, I love this family. They do so much for the Lord. Eh? Shame, I think they get put under pressure often too, like, because if you've preached a really bad message, they've got to sort it out. So I wonder if we could just bow our heads. This morning, if you're sitting here and you've never surrendered or committed your life to serving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not just as Savior, as Lord, where He rules over your life. You do what He wants you to do, not what you feel like doing. Because if you don't allow Him to reign in your life, He's another God of your imagination. He's not the God that is. If there's anyone like that, I wonder if you'd just stick your hand up. We'd love to pray with you. I'm not going to drag it on, but if you're here this morning and you want to be prayed for, because you're saying, no, I want to serve this holy God. I'm not in a place where I'm serving this holy God. I wonder if you stick your hand up. Is anyone like that? Then, this morning, if you're here and God has grabbed a hold of your heart in some area when I've spoken about holiness, have you made Him a fuzzy wuzzy and not the transcendent God that He is? Have you made Him the God of your imagination that allows you to watch stuff on TV and look at social media? If you've made Him that God, I really need you to stand up this morning. We're going to trust God that He will come and He will strengthen you. Can I be a bit strong with you guys? I didn't preach this message by mistake. God has got people here that He wants to help this morning. But for Him to help you, you need to respond. God is a God of response. He wants you to respond to His word. So please, just stand up. We'll pray for you where you are. We don't have to know what you need. We don't have to know what we're praying for. That's wonderful. All these courageous people just standing up. Just continue to stand up.
There were two scriptures that came in worship at the end, and the exact same scriptures, and was Romans 6:14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law but under grace. And what my dad's talking about this morning, he's not talking about holiness like there is this law, and he said that. It's this extent of when you acknowledge and recognize your sin, you make a way for God to come and bring forgiveness and to bring healing and to come and step into it. So what you're doing is when you respond, you're saying, I'm responding to God's grace, which means I can respond and being clean and be washed and be dealt with. And so this morning, I'm really asking you not to worry about other people's perspective of what's going on. If this message has gripped something of your heart, I'm responding. I'm saying, like, God, there's areas of my life where I've just played you down, where I've just, you're not the holy, transcendent, magnificent King of Kings who stands at the beginning of time at the end. I'm like, you've become playful to me in a way. There's certain areas. I've stopped trusting you for healing. I've stopped trusting you for breakthrough. I've stopped, man, I want you to respond this morning because the Lord wants to meet with you. And so don't be afraid. Stand up. Stand now. Respond to Him. Anything that we think or know. I don't want to serve a God of my imagination and get to the end of my life and realize that I was wrong. He wasn't like that. He was so much more perfect. He was so much more kind. He was so much more loving. But he was so much more holy and set apart and spotless. And so as we respond in this, it's your heart in Jesus. Respond to him. Don't miss an opportunity this morning. Do God's holiness and his fear and his kindness. And I want to just take a moment to thank Roland for sharing and preaching. And more than that, I think the Barnard family. I really want to just, from the heart, honor you. We're getting the fruit of just your lives. And Lord, I want to do this for you because we've been received from you. But really, we want to just acknowledge that. Many of you responded this morning. I think it's great. And there's, you know, we've missed the mark in some areas. There's areas of fear. But I think this thing of the fear of God and his holiness is not something that you can produce in yourself. It comes from God. And actually, it's a revelation from him. I think the song's beautiful, and I think it'll be appropriate for us to respond to him in the song. This is what I see. I can't be too prescriptive, but it's like some hearts will break open in a new way. And it's not out of something you've done wrong. It's a revelation of him. Like I see the front being filled with a few people on their knees. Some people just sitting where you are and being, saying, God, I see you and I'm undone. But this is something of a response to him. Are you open to that? Are you open to that, really? Because I think we can leave now, but there's more for us. So can I ask you, let's all stand together. Let's just all stand where we are. How's the Lord asking you to respond? But some of you actually need an impartation of God. And you don't have to come to the front for that. But I do sense that the way we respond will unlock something in God. Or just a measure of God. But it's a beautiful thing for God to give you his fear. It's a beautiful thing to see something of his holiness and you change, not because of a great decision you've made, because you've seen something. So I'm going to wait and see if God wants to add something to what I'm saying. But Lord, we don't want to stand before you one day and like Dan said, and we discover what we didn't know. We want to see you as you are.
So this morning during worship, I felt that God is our Father, but he's also our King. And today we must worship him not as the as our Father, because a Father, when we have problems, we bring it to them, and we lay it down before them, and they encourage us, you know, make us feel better about ourselves, that we can get through it. But our King is, when we have problems, we bring everything to him. He has the power to change it, to make it right. Because of what he did for us on the cross, because he laid his life down for us on the cross, he can change it. He can make it right. Let's bow before him and worship him as the King of our hearts, the King of our lives, and give it all to him. Just lay it all down to him.
Let's do that. Let's do that. He's the King of Kings.
Thank you, God, that you are not like us. Thank you, God, that you are sovereign, that you are perfectly good, that you are perfectly just, that you are perfect in all your ways. Thank you, God, that you are sovereign and that you hold all authority. I thank you, Jesus, that at your name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It's just whether we get to do it now or we get to do it then. But every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are the Son of God. You are the Lamb that was slain. You are the mighty and the risen King. And you are worthy of honor and glory and praise. And so, Lord, I pray that even as we go from this meeting, even as we go into this week, that there would be this greater revelation, this ongoing, that as we read our Bible, as we spend time with you, as we see others, that this revelation of our God is a holy God. our God is worthy. That we would see you more and more. You are worthy, King Jesus. You're worthy of our lives. You're worthy of our praise. In your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.